Good evening and welcome to the Safilo Group First Quarter 2017 Trading Update. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating, economic and financial results for Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they may depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary even significantly to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today's participants are Luisa Delgado, Chief Executive Officer, Gerd Gressler, Chief Financial Officer, Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I will now pass the call over to Ms. Luisa Delgado, Chief Executive Officer. Ms. Delgado, you may begin.
Thank you very much. Good evening, and thank you for attending today's call on Safilo's trading update with the key performance indicators of our Quarter 1 2017 results. In total, the group's net sales of Quarter 1 equaled €237.3 million, down 21.3% at current exchange rates, and 22.8% at constant exchange rates. The quarter's adjusted EBITDA of the period was equal to a loss of €6.2 million, while the group net debt at the end of March stood at €111.3 million compared to €109.7 million at the end of March 2016. These results reflect the heavy impact of two drivers that we anticipated on March 15th when releasing our 2016 results in the press release and earnings call. On the one side, a significant disruption of our deliveries due to our January 2017 go-live of SAP Sales, Logistics and Warehouse in Safilo SPA, a major milestone in the group's IT-enabled simplification project iWay, involving global order to cash and warehouse management of our global distribution center in Padova. After 12 other seamless go-lives over the past 18 months, the startup of the new IT systems link with the distribution center in Padova encountered unexpected important challenges, mainly related to the DC's fully automatized operations first, and then the fast build-up during January and February of significant backlog volumes involving a complex global order typologies which clogged up the throughput of the Padova DC. We said in our March communications that we expected as a result of this warehouse disruption that our going forward portfolio sales would decline during quarter one between 15 and 20% with resulting financial and economic results. For clarity's sake, going forward portfolio excludes from this year's and last year's numbers all the Gucci business licensed and through the SPPA, the Strategic Product Supply Agreement. What we have seen is that indeed during quarter one, our going forward portfolio sales impact was a decline of 14.9% at constant exchange rates, and 14.5% if we exclude the retail business, therefore at the better end of our estimate of March after delivering our month's budgeted sales in March and collecting orders normally during March. To understand the health of our underlying business, thus without the impact of the Padova DC deliveries issue, the results of our North America business and those of our Smith brand are the most important indicators, as both were largely unaffected by the Padova distribution center delivery issues, as you may remember from our earnings call discussion in March. In North America, our wholesale going forward portfolio grew by 2.6%. Smith sales grew by over 30% compared to the same period last year. Also, for further perspective, if we look at the order book for delivery during quarter one, and the actual product at hand in our Padova DC to fulfill those orders, the global sales of our going forward brands would have grown low single digit compared to the same period of last year, about in line with our budget. On the other side then, and as known, 2017 is now the first year without the Gucci license. And the quarter one 2017 results, therefore, reflected the exit of the Gucci license closed at the end of December last year. In January 2017, the strategic product partnership agreement with Kering Eyewear started for the product development, manufacturing, and supply of Gucci eyewear, with anticipated deliveries already made in quarter four 2016 as reported. What we see thus in the quarter one results is the combination of the exit of the Gucci license sales and profit on the one side, with the new SPPA volume in terms of related sales and profit on the other side, as well as profit, the accounting effect of the Kering compensation payments. I now leave the word to Gert for the additional details on these quarter one results and will then address thereafter the recovery of our quarter one order backlog before we take your questions as usual.
Thank you, Luisa. To recap our total reported business performance by geographical area, at constant exchange rate, sales in Europe were down 21.6%, in North America 13.2%, Asia Pacific was down 59.5%, and the rest of the world 44.3%. As already said, the reported performance is the result of the 14.9% decline of our going forward brands and the net decline of the Gucci business behind the exit of the license and its replacement with the SPPA revenues. And on this specific front, let me point out that in the quarter we delivered what we planned, with the SPPA recovering approximately one-third of last year's Gucci license sales. Let me elaborate for what we can, given the particular factors affecting the period, on the performance of our going-forward brand portfolio. By region, sales of the going-forward brands ended 23.9% down in Europe, a performance which was more negative than the one reported, as the latter benefits from the Gucci SPPA business, which is all accounted for in Europe. As we had pointed out in March, North America was relatively unaffected by the Padua distribution center's issues. As we had explained, the warehouse in Padua is delivering volumes in bulk to North America, and bulk means large intercompany orders shipped to our Denver distribution center. So North America is a somewhat better proxy for the health of our underlying business, and this ended up flattish in the period, or minus 0.7% at constant exchange rate. A result which still includes the still weak performance of the Solstice stores in the U.S., without which our North America wholesale business grew by 2.6%. A few words on Solstice before coming back to the wholesale business. In the first 3 months of the year, we closed 11 stores, taking the network to a total of 105 locations compared to the 116 stores at the end of last year, while we had 121 at the end of March 16. Comp sales declined by 17.4%, with a performance which was also influenced by the different timing of the important Easter consumption period, which was in March last year and in April this year. And as a matter of fact, April saw a very significant improvement of the comp sale performance, which we then aim to carry forward as we continue with the restructuring plan that we are pursuing. Coming back to the positive performance of our wholesale business in North America, our biggest brands in the markets are Smith, Kate Spade, Carrera, and Safilo. All our own core brands were off to a positive start in the region, including Safilo as a first sign of our 2017 Safilo brand focus. Smith was particularly strong and further consolidated its leadership position in goggles and helmets thanks to its cutting-edge technology and superior product offer. In particular, the strong growth in the e-commerce business of Smith is worth highlighting, which is now 30% of its total business, both through its successful website, but also indirectly through internet pure players Smith is sold through. In North America, also Polaroid and Carrera had a very positive reception of their new collection, with in particular the 2017 Carrera Spring-Summer Sun collection receiving very strong editorial and digital coverage. In other consumer markets segments, Kate Spade, Hugo Boss, Max Mara, and Fendi were our most performing brands here. As far as the other two regions are concerned, the going forward business declined by 32.7% in Asia Pacific and 34.7% in the rest of the world, of course, again, impacted by the deliveries from the Padova distribution center. Moving on, the dynamics that explain the top line decline are also the main drivers behind the significant contraction we recorded in the quarter at the gross and EBITDA level. The gross margin moved from 61.6% to 49.2%, the dilution which is explained for more than 600 basis points by the combined Gucci and Kering related impacts. This basically, once again, reflects the loss of a high gross margin business as the Gucci license was, and the entrance of the SPPA, so the production agreement, which is, of course, dilutive at the gross margin level. The negative retail performance and Forex effects contributed some other 60 basis points to the total contraction, while the rest of the result is down to the negative volume effect and mix effect due to the significant drop experienced by the going forward brand business, and there is also some higher obsolescence cost. On the obsolescence, as we had already indicated in March, we continued with the SKU reduction, basically completing the significant work done in 2016 when we reduced our total number of SKUs by some 35,000 SKUs. This was 2016. As indicated in our press release, in the first quarter, we had 3.3 million euros of non-recurring restructuring costs, mainly related to the reorganization of the Ormož plant in Slovenia, and other overhead cost savings initiatives which are excluded from our adjusted EBITDA result. The adjusted EBITDA does instead include an income of 10.8 million euros as a pro rata portion of the accounting compensation for the early termination of the Gucci license, which is equal to 43 million for the full year of 2017. Eventually, we closed the first quarter with an adjusted EBITDA loss of 6.2 million. And a margin dilution that very much resembled the drain that we saw at the gross margin level. Dynamics are in any case playing out differently, so let me run through them. In line with our expectations and previous indications at the operating level, the margin we earned with the SPPA business coupled with the accounting of the Kering compensation almost exactly covered the lost earnings of the Gucci license. So at the EBITDA level, these two opposite effects were offsetting each other in the first quarter. The negative retail performance and Forex impact had an impact of about 150 basis points to the total adjusted EBITDA margin contraction, while the rest of the explanation is down to the underlying business and the typical operating deleverage we suffer in case of significant unexpected top-line declines. Thus, in this first quarter, to the just commented gross margin effect, we need to add the impact of the fixed components of our SG&A structure. For example, contractual minima as found in royalties, marketing contributions of licenses, and certain selling expenses. Let me immediately elaborate on this front. As probably mentioned during our meeting in March, profit protection actions have already been started, but of course, none of them have become quite yet visible in the first quarter. Last to comment is our net debt at the end of March 2017. More or less in line with the position reported in the same period of last year. It stood at 111.3 million euros, but of course significantly above the level we reached at the end of December. This was impacted on the one side by the usual seasonality of our business, and on the other side by the negative economic profile of the period. I hand it back over to Luisa for her final considerations.
Thank you, Gert. I would now like to give you perspective on where we stand with the recovery of our quarter one back orders in the context of the Padova DC shipment performance. At the end of March, in our Padova DC, we had undelivered orders for products available in the distribution center itself amounting to over 1 million pieces. As we communicated on March 15th, our objective is to recover that backlog during quarter two, while concurrently also delivering every month orders at hand. We made progress since March 15 to that effect as follows. On the one side, we addressed and solved the IT-related issues of relevant importance for our daily operations. On the other, we continued to increase week by week the daily shipping level of our DC. For illustration, in April, we were able to ship 50% more than in February, and month to date in May, the throughput is another 15% higher than in April. In essence, we have succeeded to widen the funnel of the system to inbound, pick, process, pack, and ship effectively our products, to manage today higher levels of volume than last year, actually already since mid-March. We now have further interventions underway to accelerate our DC throughput further, targeting the manual activities of special delivery services and packing that are today still work in progress and are congested because of the unusual backlog of volumes. The challenge right now at hand is our operational ability to deliver that significant backlog recovery that must be delivered in addition to the by-month rolling monthly volumes. To manage this, we need to even further step change during the rest of May and June. We are, as we speak, further increasing our strenuous work with daily interventions on operational discipline, including new immediately impacting method inventions and outsourcing of specific volumes, additional workforce and further hours, and sharpening our ability to target clogged orders for faster shipments out. This concludes our presentation, and we can now open the line for your questions.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take questions in the order received, and we will take as many as time permits. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. As a reminder, to ask a question in today's question and answer session, please press star 1. We will now take our first question from Henry Gilgart from Quiro Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I just had a couple of questions. The first one is on the second quarter, if you can give us an idea of what you're expecting. I know you're expecting to recover the order book, but what do you mean exactly in terms of sales and profits? Another question is on debt for year end. Where do you think you will end up? My third question is on client reputation. I mean, given that you've had these issues, what are your clients saying? And I guess that's it for the moment, and I have another question if you have time afterwards.
Okay. I think on the second quarter, I mean, for us really, the most important month to deliver the second quarter are the months of May and June, because April, in principle, was a relatively low month because the number of shipment days was pretty low. There was a lot of holidays in April this year. So for us, key in order to get the absolute quantities out of the warehouse, May and June will be key. Again, our aim is that we recover as much as possible the delay that we had suffered in Q1. So I can't give you an exact number of what will it look like in terms of the landing point for the second quarter. But the idea is that what we suffered in Q1, we are working very hard through May and June to recover. Again, the visibility is I can't give you exactly at this point. In profit, certainly in the second quarter, we would expect a better picture. Q2 is traditionally and usually always our biggest quarter of the year. So compared to the first quarter, we expect an absolutely different picture, but it will depend entirely, let me say, on the top line result of the quarter. Then for the full year, I think the crucial two currents that we're trying to manage, and then Luisa will comment a little bit on it, that you asked this, is obviously what is the dynamic with our customers, because we haven't, for example, seen a very meaningful amount of order cancellations so far. But of course, customers are waiting for their orders in these months. May and June again are the most critical months, because this is also where a lot of the summer season sun volume needs to be shipped. So on the one hand, we are trying to recover back orders in order to get the sales in. At the same time, we are trying to maintain as strong as possible order book, in order that we then have a momentum in the second half year to continue. How that exactly will develop, again, it depends on how we come in for the second quarter. Maybe on the third point.
Debt for the year end.
So I said you said debt for the year end. I understood actuals for the year end. Well, let me say that in the first quarter, we have obviously seen an increase in the net financial position. I would say, seasonally speaking, the quarters when we collect more cash is always in the second half year, because we sell in the big amounts of the spring summer collections in the first half year, and then we collect the money in the second half year. We also had a similar profile last year, that we sold in and recovered actually the Q1 backlog of last year in the month of June. So that in the second half year, we had a significantly better free cash flow generation. So again, I think that I wouldn't expect in the second quarter yet to see a meaningful improvement. But certainly, if the recoveries are coming, then we will be creating those accounts receivable in the months of April, May, and June, then for collection in Q3 and Q4. And I do expect that for the full year, we will be getting back into the straits of a relatively normal level of net financial position.
And to your third question on client reputation, you're of course very right. The situation of deliveries is putting strain on our reputation in terms of service. We are very grateful to our long-standing customers for their partnership and for the work that we are doing together with as much transparency, communication, and engagement as we possibly can, both to our customer service, to our agents, and to our management directly, customer by customer by customer worldwide. We have and are pleased to say that during April, we were able to ship out back orders that were older, therefore rejuvenating our backlog and creating, of course, as a consequence, a better age profile of our back orders. This, of course, has helped visibly already, and we will continue to do and communicate and engage our customers as much as we possibly can to get through this during May and June, preparing then, of course, next half as well in terms of very special loyalty support to our customers. What is apparent to us is that our extraordinary collections, the design, the brands, and the very special models that are coming out and are seen and known by our customers through buying days and through the press are extremely appreciated, and as a consequence, are wanted as well. And we're trying to strike that balance while at all moments looking out after our customers with every possible service and support that we can possibly give in a difficult situation, because we cannot create customer-by-customer visibility in a warehouse that daily ships out 110,000 pieces in hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of orders that could go from one piece to 4,000 pieces. That's, I think, the best answer I can give to you on this topic, which is at my personal heart of everything that we are doing as we go through this and collect orders, and foster customer engagement, partnership, and transparency.
And just maybe another question while I still have you on the line, just on the U.S., same store sales performance was down by 17.4%. You've touched on the U.S., but could you elaborate a little bit on what happened there?
I'd like to, however, distinguish in the U.S. One thing is wholesale, the other one is, of course, retail, and Gert will give you all the perspective on retail. As you know, we are in a turnaround in our Solstice chain, as we have announced and discussed, and are leading pilots in order to quickly see how we need to intervene to drive out and also restructuring closing stores, as you have seen. Of course, wholesale is a different matter. But Gert, maybe on Solstice, to the like-for-like performance?
Sure. So the like-for-like of 17%, it's a bit, let me say, overstated, because one of the most important consumption periods in the year is Easter, and then the couple of weeks before Easter, which last year fell into March and this year fell into April. So it's more useful to look at the performance all the way until the end of April. Now, we're not reporting today the April figures, but let me say that based on what we've seen, adding the month of April and neutralizing this Easter effect, we still have a decline on same-store sales on Solstice, but it is better than what we recorded on end of March. In any case, the drivers, I would say, are a drop of traffic as the most important one, which is something that we're seeing in the entire market, also in our department stores that are in our wholesale business, of course. I think it's also something that the whole industry is seeing. And then we have some impact from negative conversion, and we have a positive impact on the price, because as also seen in the broader market, there's a bit less pressure on promotions.
Okay, thank you very much.
We will take our next question from Domenico Gilotti from Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Two questions. The first is related to the underlying low single-digit performance that you were commenting. In particular, you were commenting that it is in line with your budget. So I'm trying to understand if this is also your base expectation for the full year. So if you see in here, well, the best case at this stage, if you are able to recover the missed sales in Q1, is in the region of low single digit of underlying performance. And the second is a follow-up on the second quarter expectation, in particular, just in the moving parts. If you can remind us the extra backlog that you had at the end of March, and if I understand properly, if your underlying trend is mildly positive, I would expect to see sales up, going forward brand sales up in the second quarter, because you have this underlying trend, and on top you have some recovery of the backlog. I'm correct?
Okay, on the first question, yes, it is correct that we are talking about a low single-digit performance if we were to exclude the SAP impact. Basically, what we do to get to that number is we look at everything we had orders for and we had availability for, but which couldn't get out of the warehouse, which in any normal year would have gone out, so we would have seen low single-digit. I wouldn't necessarily conclude from that this is the ambition that we have on the going forward portfolio for the full year, because when we did our budget and when we made that comment, we did know that when we did the budget that there would be some impact from SAP, even if, let me say, everything would have gone smoothly, because it's normal that in the first month there is slowdown, there is a couple of weeks of no shipments because everything is being retooled and reset. So I wouldn't say that our budget expectation for the quarter one was necessarily equivalent for the full year. So there was an assumption that we would have a lower start and then pick up. With regards to the backlog, so what we are talking about, as Luisa mentioned, is we have more than a million pieces here that are in the warehouse with orders and with availability at the end of March. And you know, obviously, if we are able to recover these orders on top, as which is what we are working to do, then obviously the order recovery will be a positive building block for Q2, which on the other hand has naturally to be compared or watched versus the continuing progression of the order books in the months of May and June, because the majority of orders are created in the month, in the same month of shipment. So, you know, depending on how new order profile continues in May and June and back order recovery happens, we will then get to the final number.
But can you give us a sense of the order intake given the, say, the situation, so the mess in the distribution center, and so the situation of the clients that are waiting for the shipment from previous orders? Can you give us a sense of what's going on in terms of new orders?
Yeah, I will gladly. I think the first thing is that up to and including March, our order intake was totally normal and progressing regularly, steadily, as one would expect. In April, our order collection slightly softened, something we had envisaged pretty much, but it was slight. We did not see meaningful increases of order cancellations. So on both these fronts, collection, continued collection and cancellation, May and June will be critical. And as I told you before, we were able to ship out old backlog, which we believe should assure continued order intake. But May and June will be crucial on these things. As of end of April, we had seen a slight softening in April, no cancellations in any meaningful way, and up to and including March, totally normal order taking, as one would expect. And therefore, May and June, crucial to accomplish our plans to re-establish normal working conditions, get stuff out as soon as we can, and therefore protect a healthy progress of our order book.
Okay, last question. In terms of the cost-saving programs that you were commenting, so you were announcing in the previous quarters, are you on track or have you been defocusing due to the priority given to the disruption?
No, absolutely not. We are fully on track. We are on one or two of the plans actually slightly ahead, as we had already said, and that continues. So fully on track on the cost-saving program. And always looking for more whenever we can find to standardize and simplify. Absolutely no distraction or as regards the distribution center. We have divided very, very clearly who does what without exactly the whole company being distracted by the part of a distribution center. But everybody who needs to be involved be fully hands on deck, and we're progressing everything else in parallel, including Safilo relaunch, including product development, new licenses, everything that you know we have on our plate, absolutely.
And I think to build on it, I would say that we recorded in the first quarter a restructuring cost of $3.3 million, which we record obviously when we announce and communicate the program to the affected organization. So you can also see from that that we absolutely continue executing them.
And so just a follow-up on the retail business. So are you happy with the review, strategic review that you are doing on the stores? Because, frankly speaking, in spite of the store closures that we have seen in the first quarter, the underlying, so the same store sales were really weak. I understood your comment on the Easter impact, but I wonder if you are really seeing some improvements in the strategy there.
Yeah, I think what I can tell you is that we have defined a new strategy, and we have decided to test the various components of that strategy. For example, the discounting, the assortment, the marketing, and all these pieces, with a few pilot store clusters, in both in outlets and in full price stores. And this testing program is still ongoing. But I think what we can say is that in some respect, we have learned some very interesting things, and we have been able, with some of these interventions, with some of this repositioning in the pilot stores, to actually increase traffic, which is not easy given the market situation that we're in. We have also, in other parts, been able to increase the conversion, which I think is encouraging because it gives us pointers as to what are the things that now need to be rolled out broadly in the next couple of months to all the stores so that we get to a better performance. On the other hand, then there was also a few things obviously which haven't worked, and that's I think quite normal. But certainly based on running now for a couple of months some of these pilots, I think we have learned some good insights.
Also, if I may, I would hesitate to talk about a strategic rethink on Solstice. I would talk about an operational intervention that is down to daily retail management, and as a consequence, the pilots are interventions that are immediate, that have a strategic context, but of course are practical, operational, with learnings immediately reapplied, and what didn't work immediately readjusted. And it comes down to very basic operational stuff as well in the difficult retail environment in the US. Are we happy? I think it's mixed. Of course, we would have loved to see all the indicators go up in the first 2 months with the pilots. Some went up, some didn't go up sufficiently, and the pilots, control group versus pilot, etc., are being tracked, but of course they didn't touch all the stores. So we're closing stores that we don't want. We are piloting and expanding as quickly as we can. And I think that's where we are so far.
Do you expect to close additional stores, or do you think you have reached a better footprint?
I would say that we are looking at it really one by one, and we're always comparing the option of closing the store versus potentially renegotiating the lease. Obviously, the market dynamics in the U.S. Are a little bit moving in the favor of the tenants, so we're looking, one by one. But I wouldn't exclude additional store closures at this point.
Absolutely, we wouldn't exclude that, no.
Okay.
We don't have a particular number below which we don't want to go. We will close the stores that we can't turn around.
Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question in today's question and answer session, please press star 1. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will now take our next question from Katie Tilson from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I just have one quick one on gross margins. Can we expect the greater than 600 bps dilution impact from Gucci and the SPPA dynamics to continue throughout the year? Any guidance you can, or color you can give on profitability for the full year?
Sure. So with regards to the 600 basis points, no, this would not be our expectation for the full year. First of all, as you can imagine, the margin profile of the Gucci license last year was much higher in the first half than it was in the second half year. So obviously the absence of Gucci this year is progressively less impacting as we move along the year. And secondly, the gross margin dilution effect of the SPPA, of the production agreement, was naturally somewhat disproportionate because this was actually one of the businesses that pretty much delivered the plan because it didn't go through the Padua distribution center. It's like the North America business. So that had an higher incidence in the first quarter, and that will normalize as we restore a healthier underlying business in the coming quarters.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Domenica Gelotto from Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have another question. In particular, on your going forward brand performance, when you are commenting the low single-digit positive performance, do you say that it would have been, quite similar, heavily spread among the different geographies? Because I see your Asian business really very, very weak, and I wonder if in this case you have, on top of the of the issues, you have also a portfolio issues. So do you say that in Asia or in some regions the performance would have been much lower compared to other regions, or do you see a more, heavily spread trend?
Let me first give you the numbers, and then I want to comment on Asia perhaps a bit more. If we look at the way we look internally at our business, on the one side North America and Global Sports Channel, you would see an index 103 of going forward portfolio versus year ago. Western Europe and global key accounts, you would see about 100. And emerging markets, which is the combination of Asia, Central Eastern Europe, IMEA, and Latin America, you would see 115 index versus year ago. Okay? So this is how we look at operationally our units. If you look within emerging markets, we can see that between China and APAC, China is further ahead in consolidating itself, expanding its portfolio, because Asia is all about portfolio diversification after the big Gucci business went away. So, in China, you can see us having solved, credit management, operational issues, et cetera. And you would see a quarter one that is more reliable today, which doesn't mean necessarily growth yet, but it means reliable, knowing what we do and do what we do. Then you have other regions like IMEA and CE who are further ahead and have been our best performing regions last year. But you see a difference across the three units, and you see in Asia, of course, a portfolio challenge that now is being addressed step by step, but is not fully solved yet. With operationals starting to be more in place in China, as I said, we have geographies a la Australia and others that are doing well, and we have others that are not there yet in terms of their growth of the going forward portfolio.
And the last question is on the dilution that you are commenting about the Forex. What is triggering this dilution? Because I thought that Forex would have been more supportive or neutral.
Sorry, could you repeat your question? I didn't get it.
Yeah. So you are mentioning that dilution is also coming from Forex. So this was a case for dilution. And so can you help me in understanding what is creating this dilution? Because I thought it would have been quite neutral or slightly positive. Why are you referring to dilution coming from FX impact?
Yeah, I think the impact of the foreign exchange is not very significant. You can also see it on the reported and the constant currency numbers. It's not a huge impact. In any case, the forex impact on the top line has been positive. It's for one thing, it's the stronger dollar that is impacting us here. But then, even if foreign exchange has delivered a positive impact in euros on the sales and a positive impact on the gross profit, we then have all the various dynamics in structure in the OPEX, okay, which have turned the gain, if you wish, in the gross profit into a slight negative. It's not a huge impact at the end of the day, but it's visible.
Okay, so it's marginal. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. We will take our next question from Cedric Rossi from Bryan Garnier. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I just had two quick questions. The first one regarding Carrera. To what do you attribute the better trends in Q1 in North America? And the second one on Smith. So I understood that you had a very good quarter with the helmets and the ski goggles. But what about the eyewear collections? Are you satisfied with the first results? And what about the Q2? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Very good questions. On Carrera, better trends in North America are totally due to the fact that our collection, as we had anticipated already, back last fall, the January collection is a great winner. We are on trend with design with our design and with our collection structure, whereby fashion trends are privileging, you know, 80s, the boldness, the detail of technical content, lens content, and the structure of our collection that now really shows both in optical as well as in sun, you know, the breadth and the depth that our customers want. We're also very, very pleased that editorially, several of our models are really, really hot. And in the U.S., I quote our people and I quote buying days and customer feedback and editor's feedback, Carrera is hot, very hot in the U.S. right now and in a series of other markets across the world as well. And, of course, we are fueling this brand building-wise with Jared Leto and also now launched in India, for example, you know, big, big programs on Carrera, on Polaroid with local celebrities. And the stars are coming together on a design that a few years ago was just not the right moment yet and it wasn't executed as well as we've always said. We need, you know, more focus on product in Carrera. We need the authenticity of the brand. Now we have it and now we have the story behind. And remember, I told you we had reorganized in order to integrate Carrera with our best licensed brands, designers, product developers, technicity, brand management, etc., to really make it, you know, a brand, just like Polaroid and the others, as part of our best as opposed to separate setup. That's Carrera, and it is not just the U.S., okay? And that's very important. Don Smith, you're right, quarter one is due to a brilliant snow winter, and this has helped, of course, helmets and goggles in North America, sports in particular. I think on eyewear, we're expecting to catch up what we slightly missed in quarter one, in quarter two. One, because we will be delivering what we haven't been able to deliver in Europe as well. We are now ready to expand eyewear into the North American optical channel. Now, it's important to know we have gained market share in the sports channel in eyewear, so we feel good about our product. We have put that, also invested a lot of time and effort to integrate sun and optical eyewear of Smith into the Safilo way of making eyewear, which we know how to do. We didn't know how to make helmets. They knew that, but now we and we have connected the two. So, we feel good about our eyewear. We also see eyewear on Smith.com really selling well. It is more than roughly 45% of what we sell on .com, and that's growing by 26%, as you have seen. So we feel we are there with eyewear. On top, we also have nowadays more European-liking collections for sun that we have worked with selected customers, particularly in Spain, our focus market for optical. And we see orders in Spain on optical and on sun well above what we had budgeted, that, of course, now we have ever given part of it. So I think there are good things happening, but you're right. Our point on Smith is not to sell even more helmets and goggles. It is to sell eyewear based on the strength and recognition of goggles and helmets that we have, leveraging unique technology a la Chromapop, etc., that are now going out, lens technology, right, into the market. Helmet safety with, you know, bike helmet safety with eyewear. So it's always the link to eyewear and the expansion on eyewear. So that's kind of where we are and where we think we can be going and where the year will be going as well. Of course, we're happy about the good snow year. Nothing wrong with that, but not at the expense of eyewear, of course.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. I wanted to make one comment on the question on Asia just for the clarity of sake of numbers. When I mentioned China solidification, etc., it was, of course, against internal budgets and plans, not necessarily, you know, versus year ago, etc., just to be sure that there is no misunderstanding on numbers. The 115 growth is total emerging markets. Asia is the two regions are not fully part of that 115. There's bigger growth in other regions. Consolidation in China is an important point from an operational perspective, and portfolio diversification is the key name of the game in those regions with specific plans as well. India in Asia doing extremely well as a start point this year. Okay? Any more questions?
For your information, we have no further questions at this time.
Okay, well then I think we can close the call. We appreciate your questions and your interest as usual, and look forward to seeing you again and talking to you again at the beginning of August when we release our second quarter and first half year results. Thank you very much and good evening.